The Eye on Football podcast is here for your midweek edition in between week 3 and week 4. The weeks kind of flow together at this point. It's unfortunate. At some point, we'll just all become the dude from Fight Club that doesn't know where he is. Or something like that. Ryan Wilson, today, that is Wednesday, Greg Schiano made the decision to dump Josh Freeman. He is off the Josh Freeman bandwagon, even though he's been off for months. But he officially got off today and got on the Mike Glennon train. Are you on him? Are you on there with him?
No, because right around the bend is a big brick wall. Wile E. Coyote style, and it's going to crash right into it. Listen, as you mentioned, he's been off this train since late April when they drafted Glennon in the third round.
Actually, by the way, you know, it's more like on speed when they're like, when they tell Keanu they haven't finished the highway.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Keanu's heading for. It's just
either way, it ends poorly. Yes. for both him and the quarterback. So, yeah, Josh Freeman's making close. What is he making? $8 million this year. So, Unlike the – well, sort of like Mark Sanchez, they found a way to get rid of him. Sanchez, Rex Ryan, got the good idea to hurt him in the preseason. Schiano set up an offense where Freeman had no opportunity to complete more than 50% of his passes. So, you know, it's funny. Our buddy Pete Prisco just wrote up a whole bunch of stuff about how this isn't Freeman's fault. And you and I talked about this a few weeks ago and said in another offense we might see a completely different Freeman. So I don't imagine he'll get traded this year unless Tampa Bay wants to eat most of that salary. But when he's a free agent next year and he signs with another team, if he goes to the right place, gets the right coach, we could see a completely different guy. And I wouldn't be surprised, no matter what happens this year, unless the Bucs went out, Schiano will be out of work.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, so for those that are new to the podcast, I'm a raging NC State homer, as Doug Gottlieb called me on CBS Sports Radio today. I'm actually an NC State fan. So I watched Glennon for, you know, I've seen a lot of Mike Glennon. I know a lot about Mike Glennon. I think he is a NFL quality or NFL caliber quarterback at some point in time. That point in time is not right now. That's the biggest concern for me, is that Greg Schiano basically, I mean, just from an outsider standpoint, it looks like his personal beef with Josh Freeman, as Josh Freeman the football player, maybe even Josh Freeman the human being for all I know, but it looks like his personal beef with Freeman got in the way of any sort of rational decision making. And Freeman hadn't been good. I mean, like, he's completing less than 50% of his passes this year. But like you said, Pete pointed out, I mean, they're just running two vertical routes down the sidelines, and he's being asked to chunk it. Like, it's just Mike Williams and Vincent Jackson running down the sidelines, and Freeman has to chunk it deep when they pass it. It's not really an offense so much as like a high school style offense trying to go against NFL caliber defenses.
No, it's like a wind sprint, and someone just happens to be throwing a football while you're running really fast.
Yeah, I mean, Peyton Manning's completion percentage be in that offense?
100%, because he would check down every time.
Well, I mean, but are the checkdowns even there? I mean,
oh, they would be for Peyton, but right, Schiano. The bottom line is Schiano. I call him Schiano. It's Schiano, but he, you know, he reminds me sort of a chia pet. is that, you know, he seems like the here's what happened in the preseason. Deshaun Golston signed in the offseason, the former safety from the 49ers. He called a players-only meeting in the preseason to get us to kind of talk about how the practices were going, and took those issues to Schiano, and Schiano said, "Let me take care of this. You have to have faith." Well, 3 weeks in, they're 0-3. Everyone seems to hate the coach. Certainly Freeman does. I don't know. You know, we haven't heard explicitly how other players feel, but you get the sense that Schiano's the type of coach that isn't beloved, and he doesn't necessarily have to be if they're winning, but they're not winning, so they have issues. And if the offense is the problem, I'm not sure how Glennon, even though Glennon will 150 yards, how he magically fixes that. In the preseason, he completed fewer than 50% of his passes, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, I think. And he made a lot of questionable decisions, which is what you expect from an 8-foot-tall rookie who hasn't played a lot. So I don't know where the solution is into all of this. I don't know how this saves Schiano's job, other than he can go out guns a-blazing in the sense that he's going to play his guys and play his way. And,
All right, well, here's what I don't get. So everybody – I mean, we assume that this is – Do we assume that if Greg Schiano hadn't won, if he lost more than 9 games this season, that he would be fired, regardless of what happened with the quarterback?
Like, before, how about it?
What did he? What was his firing line this year? They fired Raheem, because I mean they fired Raheem Morris 2 years in too. I mean it's not like.
And they had a good Morris had a good year the first
time. 10 wins, and then they, then they lost 10 straight at the end. Fired him, went in the total opposite direction. I always liken it to somebody like you date, you know, when you break up with somebody, you date the totally opposite person.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what the Bucks did. They're like Morris is like younger than half the players and wild as hell, and so they went to Shiano, who's this like the stiffest guy on the planet. I mean, no offense, but I mean, he just he's a very big disciplinary. He's Bill Belichick without the rings.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, exactly. Or the personality.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy off the, the podium. But so what was his firing line before the season started, independent of what we know now? Like,
what were they? 7 wins last year? Is that what they did?
Yeah, remember they lost like, I think they lost like 5 straight to close out.
God, did they?
Yeah, I'll tell you in 1 second. I'm pretty sure I think it might have been they lost like 6 of 7 to close out.
Some Steelers.
That's what it is. No, that's exactly what. No, it's 5 of 6 to close out. So, here's how they're. Once you start talking about this, it'll jog your memory. They beat the Panthers in the opener, then lost a close one to the Giants where Eli went off. A really close
one. That was the snap the ball, go after the knees.
That's right. Yeah. So then they lose a close one to the Cowboys by 6 points, lose a close one to the Redskins by 2 points on a last second play that got RG3 of an arm. So they're 1-3 going to the bye. It's kind of like, all right, rookie coach. They beat the Chiefs, lose to the Saints. And then they win 4 straight, and all of a sudden they're 6-4 after they beat the Panthers in overtime. And I think Ron Rivera made some stupid decision in that game.
Get out.
And everybody's like, all right, whoa, 6-4. The Bucs are about to make a run for the playoffs, and they lose 5 straight before they beat the Falcons in a meaningless Week 17 game. So they finish 7-9.
Right. Showed some promise. And here's the thing about the 2013 season. Those losses have all been close. Levante David doesn't do something stupid.
Only team in NFL history to lose their first two games in the last 5 seconds. No, I'm serious. No, like that's a stat.
Yeah, that's not something you want to brag about. But it gives you some sense of how close these games have been. You know, I think another 7-9 season, it just depends on how these losses happen, how Glennon looks. I wouldn't have hired Shiano in the first place, but that,
No, but I'm saying, my question is, coming into 2013, what did Greg Shiano have to do, independent of personnel decisions, job?
I think another, it would have to be worse than 7-9. I think another 7-9 season would have bought him another year, but now there's sort of all this turmoil.
All this Revis stuff, all this Freeman stuff doesn't go on, he just comes in, coaches, they play hard, they're competitive. Even if he went 5-10, they might throw him another bone.
Also, something to consider. I can't remember who told me
this. Is that crazy?
Well, let me throw this at you, and you can mm-hmm. add it to the mix. And I don't remember who told me this, so we'll just assume it's true unless we hear otherwise. But apparently, Shiano also wants control of the personalities. Have you heard that?
That's Lock and Fora reported that. It's not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's not, and that's what I was going to say. Is that's why none of this makes any sense? Is because Freeman is Mark Dominic's guy. Now, nobody's really talking about this, and I don't know that it's necessarily true, but, I mean, at some point, Mark Dominic has to be on the hot seat. He hired Raheem Morris.
I always get him mixed up, too, yeah.
Raheem Moore.
Right, Raheem the Dream.
But he hired Raheem. Raheem flamed out. He hired Shiano, and all of a sudden, Shiano's, like, trying to steal his job, by undermining him for Josh Freeman's.
I'm not even sure.
What I was going to say is there's all this drama now, and I think it really exacerbates the situation to the point where if Mike Glennon is a total dud, then they're going to clean house and get rid of Shiano.
Yeah, no, that's right. I think it could be another situation like the one we're looking at the situation where the quarterback and the coach are going to be gone. Not the Jets. I don't know, because that's already been settled. Geno Smith. Who's the other? There's another.
Not the Panthers. Not the Vikings. Maybe the Vikings?
No. Let me think about it. But let me ask you this, because I'm looking at this, and I'm already tired of talking about the Bucs. But there's a report. Well, not a report. Carson Palmer said that his agent got a lot of calls from the Bucs in the offseason. Would Carson Palmer have made a difference for that team this year?
No. I mean, not really. I mean, look, Freeman's a capable quarterback. He's 25 years old.
Right, like, that's right.
And this is what I don't get. And we're going to talk about the Bucks more, damn it.
Oh, the Browns. Sorry, that's what I meant.
Oh, that's what, Whedon and who's Whedon? And
well, Whedon's the old guard, and then the new regime came in, and they're going to phase Whedon out.
Yeah.
Especially now they have the new draft pick from Trent Richardson. That's what I was thinking about. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, all right. So, I mean, Josh Freeman is 25 years old. Like, he's still really young.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. Just, I didn't. And look, I mean, you and I have yelled at each other in the past as coworkers many times.
Frequently.
And I can understand how somebody would get fired up at a coworker or like, but I don't understand how he couldn't coexist with him.
Yeah.
Or as an employee. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
That's right. This isn't an accounting firm where people don't yell at each other. This is football. Freeman's been probably getting yelled at his entire life as a football player, and Shiano's probably been yelling his entire life as a football coach. So it's not like this is new to either one of them. I don't understand where the disconnect is.
Well, and here's the other thing with Shiano that I don't get is Freeman's going into the last year of his contract. He's not your guy, right? So right. Shiano can ostensibly say, I'm going to play Freeman until, you know, we're going to play Josh, as he's been trying to say publicly. He's like, we're just going to play Josh. He could have done everything he can. He could have faked his way through it and just propped up Freeman and said all the nice things he could and played Josh and given him all the opportunities in the world. And when he failed, said, well, he wasn't my guy. What do you want me to do? I mean, did the Bucks think they were going to win the Super Bowl this year?
Not even Shiano thought that.
I mean, the Revis trade, by the way, should be a much bigger deal. Like, you don't trade for Revis and go 0-3 to start out.
The sad thing is Revis is actually playing at a pretty high level.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you that one player, no matter where he plays, is going to make a difference when everything else is not working.
It's just weird. It's just weird to me that there's no discussion of the fact that this offense sucks. I mean, I'm like, thank God Prisco's pointing it out. And I mean, you know, Pete's is, I mean, look, he's, you know, Pete, his thing is like, you know, about the offense, it doesn't have intermediate routes. It's just deep shots down the field. And you have deep guys. And look, this is why I think Glennon could possibly succeed in this offense. And I know that sounds bat smell insane, but
homer-tastic.
Well, no, look. So Glennon has one of the best arms in the league.
Okay.
I'm telling you, one of the best arms. He's got a Flacco-esque arm. Now,
so did Jamarcus Russell. Go ahead.
That's fine. But whether or not he can figure out pocket presence and footwork is going to determine whether or not he can succeed. Now,
decision-making will help too.
Decision-making will help. I am worried because I see that Shiano is good. You know, if they put him in the same offense, Glennon would be best in a short, quick, get the ball out quick. Don't have to read a bunch. Don't have to progress the defense a lot. Don't have to hit your reads too much.
You know who else would be good in that offense?
Josh Freeman.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. But, well, and again, that's the point. Look, E.J. Manuel is doing a great job, a quote, great job. Everybody's proud of E.J. Manuel. They think he's doing well, but he's not really doing that much in Buffalo because it's a well-designed scheme. The thing about Glennon, he could succeed if that running game gets going and he can do play action and take these shots down the field. He can complete those passes. I'm just saying. And look, they got Arizona. It's not a great matchup defensively, but they're missing some players. The bye week. Then you get the Eagles when he could put up some numbers against the Eagles. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, all right, we'll see. All right, let's quit talking about the Bucs.
But the Bucs are like all the football's about right now. It's midweek
football. The Ravens have a leadership void, apparently.
Yes, they do. So this is worse drama than the Buccaneers, really. So Jacoby Jones, I guess we didn't talk about this because we recorded on the last podcast.
We didn't find out until after.
That's right. Jacoby Jones, he listened to our podcast, was so excited that he and Brian, pumped up about Eye on Football podcast. He finally subscribed via iTunes. He got so pumped. He and Brian McKinney got on a party bus with a stripper named Sweet Pea, at which point things got out of control. Surprise, surprise. Sweet Pea hits him on the head with an Ace of Spades champagne bottle, and Jacoby Jones is out like a light. Has been ruled out for Sunday's game with a, quote, knee injury, which is hilarious from the Ravens.
Yeah.
What do you make?
Sweet Pea's knee to his head.
Before we get to the leadership issues, what do you make of, I mean, is this the greatest story of all time or the second greatest story of all time?
Second greatest, because Brian McKinney was also, when he was with the Vikings, involved in the sex boat scandal.
When he was running through the okra patch.
That's right, with Captain Smoot.
That's right. So, oh God, sorry. By the way, did you see what Fred Smoot did when this story broke? Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Fred Smoot, so like the story broke on Monday morning or whatever when TMZ posted it. Fred Smoot like goes to his computer, fires it up, gets on Reddit, and because he did a Reddit chat, so he's like he's verified on there, and he just writes, "I was not on the party bus." Nice. Fred Smoot.
That guy's crazy. They love him in DC, which is sort of interesting. But
he's nuts. It's
I don't know. One of the takeaways is that don't go anywhere that Brian McKinney's going to be, because you're probably going to get in trouble. The other takeaway is I don't care if Jacoby Jones goes on a party bus with strippers. Just, you know, try to avoid getting hit in the head with a champagne bottle would be my advice.
That's a good rule of thumb in general.
Yeah. No, in any walk of life, not just party buses with strippers named Sleepy. Other than that, I don't have any real issue with it. I know that, you know, Ray Lewis now gets paid by ESPN to say stupid stuff. So he was asked about it and he answered the question. And he talked about some leadership void, which is, you know, I understand that Ray has refound himself and kind of reinvented himself as this Bible-thumping, God-fearing dude. And good for him. He seems to believe what he says. But the problem with talking about leadership when you were once acquitted of murder charges is that people don't tend to take you very seriously.
It's weird that he would – and the worst part about it is his quote – It's not just like the Ravens don't have leaders. He's like, the Ravens are missing me and Ed Reed and me.
Right.
And that's why they have no leaders. It's like, dude, you don't really get what you're doing here. You're an independent analyst. Like, you're not a
spokesman for the Ravens.
Yeah. I mean, his first night on, he was doing the Steelers Bengals game. It's like, who are you pulling for? He's like, well, you know, a nuclear bomb, but I mean,
I'm trying to find your thing on. I'm trying to see what did Joe Flacco say?
Oh, so Joe Flacco just said, and somebody was trying to say it was tongue in cheek. I don't know if it was. Joe Flacco said Ray knows better. Okay, because Ray Lewis, you know, basically this team has won the Super Bowl, and you know, Ray Lewis is now saying that now that he's gone, there can't be any leadership on the team.
Well, I will also say this, and, you know, I'm clearly not a Ravens fan. I'm a Steelers fan. But I thought Joe Flacco was hilarious when he said before the season that when Ray Lewis gave speeches, he didn't understand half the things he was saying.
Yeah. No. And then, what did he say? He said that they didn't make sense.
Right.
Because they don't. I mean, he did the squirrel dance and he would, like, scream around. And look, it's motivational because Ray Lewis is a psychotic.
Right, that's like, right. You're afraid. You are physically afraid for your well-being, so you kind of get motivated to in a fear avoidance sort of way.
I think that generally speaking, when it comes to motivational speeches, like human beings don't understand that you can yell. Like if you put the right music or the right tone to your voice, you can yell basically anything.
No, it's like talking to your dog.
I could be yelling like, fart cheese. Who wants a fart cheese? And like my dog will think that she's getting a treat.
That's right.
I don't fart cheese, you know.
That's what they call treats in North Carolina. All right. So again, not a big issue. The Ravens are 2-1. Their defense is getting better. Has absolutely nothing to do with Ray Lewis.
Would you say that defense is better than last year's? Just ask.
Not yet.
Just ask.
No, not yet. By the way, I don't know who thought. I certainly didn't. That starting Michael Huff would ever be a good idea. I mean, he was garbage in Oakland, and people certainly thought he was going to be some sort of answer for Ed Reed, who was, according to our buddy Pete Briscoe, not very good last year. We'll see. There's a lot going on here. I mean, they didn't play particularly well against the Texans. The Texans are a problem, by the way. We can talk about that later. But
let's talk about that now.
They're huge.
It's actual football. And by the way, the Ravens, this is going to be an issue all year long, because I don't know if if the Ravens could trade for Josh Gordon, that's a team that should trade for Josh Gordon. But they don't have. They got Torrey Smith, and they don't have anybody in the like. There's nobody. There's Ray Rice and Torrey Smith, and nothing else to take up the rest of the field.
And Ray Rice is hurt.
Yeah, and Bernard Pierce, who didn't look that good. So that's a red flag for the Ravens. If they had a good offense right now, they'd be rolling people because their defense.
Seals had a good offense; they'd be 3-0 too.
No, they got a franchise quarterback.
But yeah, the Texans hugely disappointing. I said before the season that the Colts were going to finish third in that division. Colts look pretty good.
Colts are going to finish the Titans might win that division.
Listen, right now the Colts are the best team in that division.
Yeah, without question, the Colts are fine.
Listen, we're not even a quarter way into the season, but through three games, that's my assessment. Houston hasn't played a good game yet. They got lucky twice and got blown out the third game.
And by the way, speaking of, I mentioned like at least 10 times in the last 2 days that 75% of the teams that go 3-0 make it to the playoffs. And when you say that, everybody's like, oh, well, that 3-0 team's got to make it. Well, you know what the problem is?
Quarter of them don't.
25% don't. So if you had to pick, are there seven teams right now? So let's say pick two of the 3-0 teams who won't make it. You got Saints, Bears, Chiefs, Broncos,
Dolphins, Pats.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
Seahawks.
Yeah, I'll stick with my original preseason and say that the Dolphins don't make it. They're 3-0. I still think that it'll be Cincinnati, Baltimore. One of those teams will get the wild card, and I think the other one's going to be. I think KC will make it, and Denver. So there are your two wild cards there.
Yeah, that's true.
It's one team. I had to come up with one more. Oh man, I think it's going to be the Bears. I said this earlier today.
Totally possible.
I like the Packers in that division just because there's the Packers. And if I think, you know, Detroit, if they can get that offense some consistency, Reggie Bush stays healthy, they'll be fine. The defense is a lot better than we thought. So I'm going to say that the Bears and the Dolphins.
I would actually agree with that, which makes this kind of segment kind of boring. So the Texans are still 2-1, but they're negative 12 points in their point differential. They can't get the offense going. J.J. Watt is fantastic, but
how can they not get that offense going? DeAndre Hopkins is awesome.
So is Andre Johnson. So is Aaron Foster. So is Ben Tate.
Foster's struggling, but you still have Ben Tate, and then
they're great players. They have talent there. So does it come down to we don't think Matt Schaub is a real justifiable quarterback?
I think part of the issue, and I haven't watched a lot of the Texans this season, part of the issue might be the offensive line, which is sort of working through injuries coming into the year. And as we know, with the Steelers, the offensive line sucks. You got a whole bunch of other issues. Doesn't matter who's lined up elsewhere on the offensive side of the ball. But yeah, you would imagine they would be able to string something together. Especially, nothing's changed. Kubiak's still there. Schaub's still there. Same play calls. Same playmakers. It's sort of a weird series of events.
You know what's weird about them though? So I mean, 2 years ago it was like, all right, the Texans just have to get to the playoffs. Or is it three years ago? It's like the Texans need to get to the playoffs or Gary Kubiak's fired. And 2 years ago, it's the Texans need to win a playoff game or else Gary Kubiak's fired. And now it's maybe the Texans need to get in the Super Bowl. I think the Texans are okay in that they are progressing. But I agree with you in that this year they seem to have taken a small step back.
Are they the best team in the South right now?
I mean, I would rather have the Colts because Andrew Luck.
Yeah. And that defense is actually playing well.
Yeah. Good for Brian Grigson. Man, he just knows what he's doing. I mean,
he made a lot of questionable decisions this offseason. Laurent Landry.
Eric Walton.
Gosser Chairless.
Ricky Jean-Francois.
And, you know, gave a first-round pick of Trent Richardson, which is probably the best deal he made of all those four we just mentioned. But still questionable. But so far, it's paid off. So hats off to you, Old.
Now, like you said, a lot of season left.
Yeah.
Colts could still lose some games. I don't... Yeah.
Hey, listen, talking about a lot of season left, let's talk about these teams here that are kind of early season disappointments. The Packers, 1-2. The 49ers, 1-2. What else we got?
Well, let's segue into – let's just talk about – we'll talk about the Packers, then we'll segue into the NFC West, and then we'll preview this Thursday night game that we have.
All right. And Atlanta's 1-2.
Yeah, so the Packers and the Falcons, probably a two teams that a lot of people thought would be reasonably
fit. Good.
Be very good. The Packers have a plus 8-point differential, and the Falcons have a negative 3-point differential. The Falcons, I've got them in the, you know what I wish I'd done? I wish I'd picked the Saints to win the Super Bowl. I know that sounds...
I have the Saints winning the division. I have the Falcons second. Do I have the
Falcons
second?
I do too, but then I have the Falcons go deep in the playoffs. I wish I'd taken the Saints to go deep in the playoffs. Saints-Patriots Super Bowl. Is if I could redo it right now, I would do that. Because the
Saints over Seattle?
The Saints. I mean, the Saints could easily get home field advantage, and if you get home field advantage for them, I mean, it's just as good as Seattle, I think.
Yeah,
that place is insane.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting because the Saints have to play the Falcons twice. Already beat them once. Have to play it once more, but Seattle really only has to worry about
San Fran. Yeah,
yeah.
Breeze is rolling. Jimmy Graham is on pace for like 1,900 yards right now.
Yeah, yeah, that's a problem if you're a defense.
Yeah, and he's in a contract year, so I think it'll keep it going. They can handle the Bucks clearly. They've already won two division games, so they're a big leg up. You know, usually don't have, at this point, like, a team that's 2-0 in the division. I think they're, in fact, the Saints are the Saints and the Patriots are the only two teams that are 2-0 in the division. So they've got a big leg up on that in that sense. The Falcons, I mean, look, if, and this is another reason why I don't like my Falcons pick, is that Steven Jackson's out for a while, maybe 7 weeks. Roddy White is banged up. Julio Jones is doing great things, but Matt Ryan and Julio Jones can't do it. Nobody's talking about how bad Tony Gonzalez has been. That defense just lost Corey Beerman. They lost Sean Weatherspoon. You know, they have OC Umeniora, but they're young in the secondary. This is not a complete – Sam Baker's hurt. This is not a complete Falcons team by any stretch of the imagination. Would you – if you had to pick right now, one team to go to win the conference, Falcons or Packers?
The conference or the division?
Division, fine. Which one would win? Who's more likely to win their division at 1-2?
Oh, yeah, the Packers. Because, you know, I have the 3-0 Bears. I don't have them doing anything.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's what I was going to say. Who's more likely to make a deep run, I guess?
In the playoffs? Yeah, Packers still.
Yeah, because Aaron Rodgers, I assume.
Yeah, I like Matt Ryan. I don't love Matt Ryan. I love Aaron Rodgers. The player. Aaron Rodgers is sort of a whiny. He's sort of a whiner.
Yeah, he's kind of annoying.
Yeah, he is. I like him, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he delivers football porn once a Sunday. How much do you worry about the Packers' lack of a running game now that Eddie Lacy has a concussion, Jonathan Starks, or James Stark is hurt, and Jonathan Franklin is also hurt?
When did Franklin get hurt? He fumbled a lot. Did he get hurt his feelings on that play?
No, he hurt his busted up his ankle on that play.
He jumped over the pile. How'd you
get
your ankle
hurt, man? I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. Yeah, they can live without a running game. The only thing, they would have won that game without a running game if Aaron Rodgers didn't have the worst game he's had in some time.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he has a bad game once every 3 years. That was it. I think he'll be fine going forward. If not, we'll certainly hear about it. But I think, you know, I'm not worried about them not having a running game.
Yeah. And I mean, their division is a lot tougher.
Yeah.
I feel better about the Falcons climbing back in that division. Because you got to climb over the Panthers and got to climb over the Saints. They do. They're behind the Panthers.
Words never spoken. Yes, I see that. Mathematically, they're percentage points behind them. Not even percentage points.
Gotta climb over. Would you rather climb over the Panthers or the Lions? jungle feline would you rather hump?
Yeah, no. All right, what else we got? We're talking about the San Francisco.
Yeah, so the NFC West, the Seahawks are 3-0. You would be hard-pressed to find somebody who doesn't think the Seahawks are going to the playoffs.
I haven't won in the Super Bowl.
I know you do, and I'm sure you'll keep mentioning that throughout the year. But the they're going to the playoffs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So they're going to –
It's whether or not they get home field advantage.
Last year the 49ers won the division, right? Yeah. I don't think – I just can't – that 49ers team looks suddenly awful. I can't imagine there's – unless there are a bunch of injuries for Seattle, I don't know how that changes Seattle's fate. I think they're going to stay atop the West from here on out. I was sort of – I had St. Louis as my dark horse playoff candidate, second in the division. We'll find out a lot about the St. Louis team on Thursday night.
Yeah, and here's the thing about the 49ers that – and again, I've done a couple of radio interviews since Sunday. And you know, everybody's always like, what's the most shocking thing that happened – over the weekend, and you know, what do you think about this and this? Are the 49ers in trouble? I still can't get over that 49ers loss because they got absolutely jackhammered by a Colts team that has an inferior roster.
Yeah,
and it happened in San Francisco, and it happened after a loss for Jim Harbaugh where he doesn't lose, and it's just red flags galore. I think that San Francisco will rebound because we have enough empirical evidence over 2+ years. To assume that the 49ers can bounce back and be a good football team.
But okay, here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Last year, the Rams played the 49ers better than any other team in the league. Took them to a tie in overtime the first time, then beat them in overtime the second time a few weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Secondly, Kaepernick is playing like dog crap.
Absolutely. He's spending all his time on Twitter, favoriting tweets, man.
That's right. Not helping is that Michael Crabtree's out. Not helping is that who else was hurt? Vernon Davis didn't play with a hamstring last week. Not helping is that teams are triple-teaming Anquan Boldin. So listen to this stat. The first game of the season, 13 receptions to Anquan Boldin. And, you know, they blew out the Packers.
Yeah.
Two games since, Kaepernick has 13 completions to the rest, all the wide receivers combined, last two games.
Yeah,
that's
Man, I was beating the Anquan Boldin drum before, saying, you know, it's not. I mean, like, he's not a guy that's going to get separation for you. He doesn't. It's not what he does.
Nobody's getting open. Kyle Williams is not a guy you want as your number two receiver. Yeah. And also, the defense sucks suddenly. It's sort of like the Texans syndrome. The same guy, same player, same scheme, except now they're suddenly not very good. So, you know, Carlos Rogers had a great year last year. He's certainly not – I don't think he's going to play that level again. That has something to do with it. But now they're going to be down Antoine Aldon Smith.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be gone for a month, I think. Because, I mean,
at least, right.
Well, you know, you're talking about if you're doing, you know, rehab, I mean, that's a month-long process.
And by the way, Kaepernick, Tiger Woods' sex camp was what?
That's right.
Six weeks?
Hey, Kaepernick's still favored in tweets, by the way. Last 24 hours. By the way, isn't it nice to see Colin Kaepernick and his cocky-ass attitude be put in place? One season does not a career make. At Kaepernick, you suck. Niners need to bench you for Colt McCoy. At Kaepernick, you suck. We should have kept Alex Smith. He probably wouldn't be getting whooped, W-O-O-P-E-D, on by the Colts. I'll tell you that much. You, capital U, suck. And at Kaepernick, I hate you so much. I hope you fall off the face of the NFL planet and end up just another could have been but never was QB. Jesus. I mean, what's wrong with these people?
Well, part of the issue is that Kaepernick doesn't need to be on Twitter. The other part of the issue is that what's his name? Jay Lynn from Amish Mafia points out, people like to be tough behind their keyboards.
Oh, my God, they do.
So wait a second, though. You're talking up the 49ers here. You have the Rams winning this game.
Did I pick the Rams winning the game?
Yes. Yeah. As did I.
Well, I mean, it's in St. Louis, right?
Is yeah.
It? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. All right, here's my thing. So we'll preview the game and get out of here.
Caught you in a lie.
I got the Rams covering 3.5. Did that line
yes, you
move?
Do.
Oh, no, the Rams are getting 3.5.
Plus 3.5, yeah.
Yeah, see, that to me is...
But you're picking the Rams straight up as well.
Right, but I don't like the idea of it's a short week, the 49ers looked like crap.
Yep.
They can't... They don't have... Okay, so as we were saying, look, the Anquan Boldin is your only target. I don't think that Vernon Davis is going to end up playing because he didn't play on Sunday. It's a short week. Doesn't have a ton of time to get ready. Stick Janoris Jenkins on Anquan Boldin. Double him with a safety. They don't have anyone to go to. The 49ers offensive line isn't playing well. The Rams have a really good front seven. They should be able to slow down that 49ers rushing attack. And the 49ers defense, you know, isn't that great. Now, right now,
by the
it's
way,
not that great.
You know how else you can slow down the 49ers rushing attack? Have Jim Harbaugh not give Frank Gore the ball.
That's right. I don't get that, what they did with the Colts. I mean, maybe look. This is one of those games where – and I don't like the idea that there are only three people on the 49ers and five on the Rams. But it's – if logic holds, the 49ers won't win this game.
No. Listen, I wouldn't even put Janoris Jenkins on Boldin. I'd put Cortland Finnegan on Boldin, and Boldin would get thrown out in the first quarter just because he'd be so –
That's right. I'd be so pissed off because he'd be getting
having
punched,
to deal with that idiot.
Punched in the nuts left and right.
Yeah, that's right. Getting the Julius Hodge treatment.
That's right. The Chris Paul style, man.
That's right.
Yeah, and I don't know. The Rams are kind of a mess right now too, though. We should point this out.
Yeah, we overlooked the fact they got blown out last week.
They've given up – so they were supposed to have one of the best defenses in the league. They've given up 62 points in the last 2 weeks. Robert Quinn has been exceptional as a pass rusher, yes. But for the most part, the Rams have been kind of terrible, which is a concern, right?
Yes, it is. I'm going to look up his stats real quick.
I was trying to click on the damn Rams link, and it wouldn't let me. So while we both sit here and click, I'll talk about the offense while we both sit here and click. Daryl Richardson, the presumptive starting running back, isn't doing very much. Isaiah Pede caught 7 balls last week, but it's a problem if you're catching 7 passes as your number one running back because that means you're getting blown out, so you're throwing the ball. They can't get the ball going. They can't get the pass game going. Jared Cook had a monster first game, but he hadn't done anything since then. Sam Bradford is piling up junk yards. Tavon Austin has been kind of non-existent. I mean, he hasn't
done much.
I mean, he's got 2 touchdown catches, but he's 18 receptions on 26 targets, and he's averaging 6.6 yards per catch. I mean, that's they're not feeding the ball to Chris Givens enough. He's only got 19 targets. I mean, it looks to me like it might be a little bit of Sam Bradford not being very accurate.
So maybe. He's always been gun-shy. And I think, you know, when you take a beating early in your career, it's kind of David Carr syndrome. He's not at that point, but you sort of are kind of predisposed to be gun-shy. But looking at the defense real quick, Robert Quinn is actually abusing. He's like, he has one of the highest ratings for overall.
He's out of control.
Yeah. Run defense is fine, but his pass rush abilities are off the charts.
Are you looking on like PFF or something?
Pro Football Focus. Yeah. And Michael Brockers is also having a really strong year. Mm-hmm. Chris Long's doing slightly above average, not great. But once you get to the linebackers, and they grade guys, you know, positive numbers above zero are really good. Negative numbers are clearly not good. Right. All the linebackers are negative numbers in terms of how they compare to other linebackers. So that, you know, Laurinaitis, the rookie Ogletree, Will Witherspoon. The secondary actually is okay. Cortland Finnegan is actually awful. He has some really bad.
Cortland Finnegan's having a no good, terrible year. But I mean, he's been awful.
Janoris Jenkins is playing well. Your boy T.J. McDonald is just at average, which is, you know, that's fine. If you're at average, you're better than half the players in the league. Isn't T.J. McDonald a state guy?
No.
Oh, okay. Who's T.J.? Oh, who's the receiver for the Bills?
T.J. Graham.
Yeah, okay. T.J. Johnson is also playing well. So it looks like the middle of the defense is really stinking up the joint. The front and the back end are holding up their ends. And, you know, if the front can control the line of scrimmage against the 49ers, that's all you need to do because – it seems like Kaepernick is struggling with his reads. Guys are struggling to get open on the back end. And, you know, after 2.5 seconds, Robert Quinn's going to be in your face. So, you know, they have to figure out a way to run the ball, which probably would start by giving the ball to Frank Gore and see what happens.
Well, and the other thing, too, is you look at the last two games. And the Rams, by the way, have given up 24 points to the Cardinals, 31 points to the Falcons, and 31 points to the Cowboys. In the last two games, they have not been in the game at all. They won the first game against the Cardinals. They weren't in it at Atlanta. They weren't in it at Dallas.
Right.
And that's weird, too, because those are two fairly nice, you know, domey they're used to playing on that sort of surface. But I will say in all three of those games, and Cortland Finnegan is getting his ass kicked, but Larry Fitzgerald, Julio Jones, and Dez Bryant. I mean, that is three very tough assignments. The next 2 weeks – it's Anquan Boldin and Justin Blackmon.
There you go.
So I think we could see – and we'll have a long week for the Jaguars. I think we could see some corrections starting, you know, against San Francisco at home Thursday night, short week. I think it favors – you know, I think the 49ers can bounce back, but I think it favors the Rams a little bit because they're at home. They have a lot – they have as much to prove as the 49ers, and the 49ers don't exactly have a bunch of, you know – a bunch of freedom to just bounce back because guys are returning or they can game plan differently.
The 34 quarterback, number 33 is Colin Kaepernick.
Who's 34?
Josh Freeman. EJ Manuel, surprisingly.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So who you got? You got the Rams. We both got the Rams winning?
Well, yep, winning and covering.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, if they win, they cover, yeah.
Yep.
All right, so that for the Thursday night preview. It's a shorter podcast, but it's a short week, everybody. Make sure and subscribe via iTunes, and we will talk at you soon.